I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So 1 Corinthians in the 3rd chapter. Read this portion together, this chapter, and then we'll seek the Lord's face again as we would consider, especially the last few verses this morning. So let's do give again our attention to chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife, and divisions, are ye not carnal, and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ's. And Christ is God's. Amen. And we do trust again the Lord's blessing upon this word opened and read in our hearing. And so let us, again, as we mentioned, seek the Lord for His help this morning. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we give Thee thanks again. For this day we can meet together around Thy Word. And for the many blessings we have partaken of even this week and even this morning already. But Father, we pray especially as we look into these words, we might know the Spirit's work. Secret though it is, yet how necessary. For by nature, Lord, our minds are darkened, and our wills are hardened, and our ears are stopped up. So come, O Lord, and may we have that gracious and wonderful influence of that great third person of the Trinity, the Holy Ghost. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're getting back to our studies in Christian doctrine, which are winding down to a close. We have to consider a little bit more this morning about synods and councils, and then we have the last subject will be the last judgment, the state of men after death and things of that nature. In this, then, consideration of the church as it exists, as it's manifested in synods and councils, we looked last time, which might have been a few weeks ago, I think now, maybe a month, I don't know, at Acts 15, and you see an example there of the elders and the apostles especially gathering together to determine the controversy that had come up in the early church. Then you read, not only in Acts 15, but you can read in church history from after the apostles' death right up until our own day. Different councils or assemblies, different decisions they have come to, different confessions of faith they have made, issues they have looked at, etc., as a assembly of pastors or bishops or presbyters and different names for those throughout the centuries. And so our thought today is our question today, the issue we want to revolve in our minds, and we want to do it so in the Scripture, is what weight do these councils, these synods, have to the Christian? Or how are we to respect their authority? How are we to look at them? How are we to use them? I think it goes without saying, at least from our last time of considering this, that these broader assemblies of God's church and their officers are beneficial per se. In other words, they are given for the benefit of the church in and of itself as an institution. But, as you know, with all institutions after the fall of mankind, they're not all beneficial all the time. So, we want to look just a little bit here in this portion. I said we'd look at the last verses especially. And so I want to read them again to you, and beginning in verse 21. It says, "Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos, or Cephas or the world, or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's." As you noticed here in this very chapter we read, that he's speaking especially of how The Corinthian church, the believers there, are regarding Paul and Apollos. And some are liking Paul better, some are liking Apollos better. If we back up and look at chapter 1, you know, it's also some are saying, as he mentions, I'm a Cephas. And others, thinking to top them all, say, but I'm of Christ. You see that in verse 12 and 13 of that, or especially 12 of that first chapter. There's this glorying in men. There's this identification of the blessedness, of the advantage of individual Christians or groups of Christians with a certain individual. As you said, Paul or Apollos or Cephas. So Paul's dealing with this division, this schism, this really carnal way of thinking. This, as he calls it, I think, wisdom of the world. Charles Hodge says that to glory in something is to trust in it, or to look in it, look at it, or if it's a person, to that one, for your blessedness, for your help, and for your honor. And Paul is saying here, as the Corinthians were doing that to men, that's wrong. That's wrong. If we can back up in that chapter, he says, who are men? Who's the two greatest, it seems, that they were liking, Paul and Apollos? Ministers. Now, you know, a lot of times maybe in our growing up and maybe not thinking through what that word means, but that's a servant. It's a title we give to those of the church. There's nothing wrong with that. Paul calls, I think in some such fashion in the Corinthian epistles, the preachers, the ministers of the word. It's not wrong to have that if it's appropriate. But we should not ever forget what that means. It's a servant. So here is the church, the believers, glorying in servants. Glorying in servants. Well, I want to say just mainly two things then about this glorying in men, glorying in what Paul identifies as the servants of the church in relation to, as we said, synods or councils, sessions, presbyteries, their decisions, the church fathers, their writings, that we'll just say the medieval theologians, the reformed, that is, the reformers, their writings. Writings all the way up to today, including ourselves, preachers you hear on the radio, the internet, whatever. The productions of even believing men, we'll just keep it at that. The church that seems to profess the truth and has some reality of it. How then are we to look at this? If we're not to glory in them. Well, I think the first thing we'll just say is this, that we are to use them. The church councils, the church fathers, the Reformed fathers, men of the Great Awakening, our Southern Presbyterian fathers, whatever. We are to use them. And I say that because not only just thinking through it, these are gifts to the church. As Ephesians says, we don't want to neglect things that God has given us, but look here, it's very clear even in this passage. Down at verse 21, he gives that general statement. We're not to glory in men, because all things are yours, or we could say ours. And he lists off Paul and Apollos and Cephas. He doesn't stop there. He says the world, life, death, things present or things to come, all are yours, or all are ours. They're for us as believers. They're for us as the redeemed of the Lord. They're not over us. They're not over us. They're for us. They're servants. They're helps. In other words, Paul is saying, think, brethren, of your position. Think of your position. Do not glory in men. Use them. They're yours as they will help you. Probably politically incorrect, but it's a truth from all the way back, I'm sure before Abraham, because Abraham bought and sold slaves. I don't think he invented it. And they say it's still going on in many places today. Not in our country. But masters that own slaves, they don't glory in the slave or slaves that they're connected to. That is not their identification. It doesn't give them prestige because I have, you know, X somebody, maybe unless they get some kind of political prisoner they've enslaved, maybe, but just generally speaking, the slave is honored to be connected to the master if he's a great and a good man, things of that nature. But this is all backwards here, Paul is saying. These things have been given to you in Christ. These things are under you. These things are for your benefit. Paul says of us in other places that we're going to judge the world. We're going to sit with Him in His throne. And now we're glorying instead of the Lord Jesus Christ as the head of His people, as the glorious bridegroom, as the King and life of poor sinners, as that one wherewith, as Psalm 45 tells us, in viewing such glory and majesty and beauty of Him, we're to forget our own families and Father's house, as He would choose us and make us part of His kingdom. Of course, there's imagery there to denote the wonderful privilege and high honor surpassing all other relationships and privileges and honors. To be connected, to be united to Jesus Christ. But they started to reverse it. Now it's better for me to say, I'm a Paul. Or Apollos, or Cephas. Maybe some said Barnabas, we don't know. We have the same things, don't we? Well, we're Westminster Confession people. You're not. You're just old, lowly Wesley Confessionist or something like that, you know. Well, who is John Calvin? Who is the Westminster Divines? Who is John Wesley or Charles Wesley or Whitfield? Nothing more than Paul and Apollos. Really and truly. They're merely servants. They're given to us. We are to use them. We're not to glory in them. Paul didn't say, stop listening to Apollos. Don't attend my preaching. Have nothing to do with Peter's letters. Or you could go on if you want to expand it out, trying to focus on that. But you say, go out of the world. Renounce life and death and all these things. No. They're yours. they're yours. You're in a position over them. You're in a position that these things are servants. You think of how Paul puts it in another place, that all things were given to Christ for His people, for the church. For the church. Now, in the things present, you know, we're not exalted. We're not sitting on the throne. We're not in that glorious coming kingdom. For good reason. But we need much work, don't we? Our sanctification, our practical conformity to the image of Christ is a work in progress. And for all of me, it seems like it's a long work. But justification, thank the Lord, is complete and perfect, never increasing, never decreasing, forever. But sanctification is another aspect where our characters, our persons, our morals, our thoughts, our prayers are all gradually, by the Spirit of God, showing us Christ, keeps getting better and better and more like unto our glorious head, our glorious Savior. I say, so in this life, we don't see these all this stuff subjected to us maybe overtly. But Christ is saying all these things work together for good. They're all given to you as servants, helps. Perhaps you can think of, you know, you're going across a muddy section in your woods or in yard or whatever, and you've got stones out there you can step on. You know, that's what these things are. You don't worship the stones and glory in the stones. You use them. And that's our second point. We are to use these things, but we're to use them as helps, not masters. We're to use them as helps, assistance, things that further us along, not things that are to be imposed over us and to control us. And Calvin is talking a little bit about this in his Institutes as he dedicates it to King Francis. I forget which Francis, what number after his name, but he's giving it to Francis. And he's defending the Reformation and how that even the church fathers witnessed to all the different distinctives of the Reformation against what Rome had corrupted the church. It's an amazing thing. He just, father after father, he keeps quoting on all things to show how the Romanists in that day had fallen away from the earlier and primitive faith. But I say all that to say this. He connects the passage we just looked at some there in 1 Corinthians 3 with Luke 22 and especially at verse 24 and following to show again the use, to show our perspective, our reverence of the church fathers or church councils and things of that nature. So it says in Luke 22:24, and there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And of course it's disciples here. And in Luke's account, it comes right after the Lord's Supper. And brethren, this is not to excuse our sins, but if you've come to the Lord's table like we did last week, and the Lord gave you great thoughts of Himself, and you go out this week and you failed, and you think, how could I do that after just seeing the Savior in such wondrous love? Well, the apostles did the same thing. Again, not to excuse it, but to help us to know that we're not perfect yet, and we can go from very high experiences of Christ and come crashing down low. Does it mean we've lost our salvation? It means we just need to keep looking back to the one that died and gave Himself for us and said, remember me. So this is right after that. There was a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And He said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. And they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he that is chief, as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth, is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. You think of that. Yes, in the normal run of things in the government, in the society of mankind, those that are chief, those that are the greatest, are those that exercise the most authority, that have the most control over others. But among the disciples, it's not to be so. The chief is to be the servant, and to be as the younger, as the one that not is sitting at meat, sitting at the table, eating and drinking, having others serving, but the one that is serving. And you see how that applies here to this controversy, really, this big schism and split, as it were, in the Corinthian church, but also as it applies to us looking upon figures in church history or systems of theology, which, as good as they are, and should be maintained, but are not to be gloried in. These are servants to us. And these are the apostles. These are those Peter and James and John. Of course, Paul added later, as he tells us himself. Matthew and others. Paul says in Ephesians, the foundations of the church are built upon the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone. What? Their writings, not their personal character, but their writings. And the Lord Jesus is saying, even them, as men, as great preachers, as they were in these days, because these were, you're able to follow them then. They were still living and breathing and exercising their gifts and ministries. They are not to look for places of eminence. They're not to look to gather a following. And the people that are receiving their word, though they should give them reverence to a certain degree as ministers of Christ, as the apostles of Christ. Yet Paul is saying, still, all of us. And notice he includes himself there. In fact, he says, first, Paul or Apollos, we're servants. We're given by the Savior for you. For you. We are not your master. We are a help. We are a help. Paul says we have no dominion over your faith, but are helpers to your joy. Yes, sometimes there has to be a rebuke. Sometimes there has to be discipline. But again, what's the whole goal? It's the help, the joy, the furtherance of the work of grace in every child of God. That's the point. It's not an end in themselves. The church synod or church council, these confessions of faith and the writings of church leaders. Of course, if they have the right motive, it is for what Paul said, to help, to serve the people of God, to serve the elect. But we're to look at them that way too. And so we do submit to the decisions of a session or presbytery or synod or council, whatever these things. We would admit many truths of all kinds. There's been lots of councils. The more I live, the more I find out how many I didn't know about. Especially in perhaps in the earlier church region of time. But why would we accept any of them, or why would we reject any parts or wholes of them? Because we glory in Christ and in God, and especially in this book that they have given us, to know them, to know the truth, And so if they draw us to a better understanding, they give us thoughts, they give us sentences, and they explain things. Oh, I can see now how what Paul means there, or John, or Isaiah. We should rejoice in that. Well, we shouldn't then make a god out of this one. Whether it's back, you know, early on with Irenaeus, or up closer, you know, with our old Dabney or somebody like that. No, we need to thank the Lord for them and use them. Maybe it's John Wesley. No, we don't agree with everything John Wesley said. There are certain things he may say, and I think he does say. They give a light, even upon justification by faith alone against Rome. Some very good statements on that. Make it very clear. Christ's glorious and all-sufficient work. But then we don't say, okay, everything John Wesley wrote about the Bible, I'm indebted to believe now because he was right on this one thing. Neither was John Calvin. Someone we agree with much, much more. And least of all, others that are of lesser ability and lesser gifts. But yet, even them, the Lord uses to further His work of grace. But let us, while we do give honor to whom honor is due, we shouldn't say, you know, just because we don't worship Mr. Calvin or Mr. Wesley or whoever, well, you know, who cares about them to give them no honor? That's not true either. Honor to whom honor is due in their respective degrees. But all honor to the Lord who gave them that light, who showed them the truth as it is in Jesus, and whatever particulars or more generals that they have. And let's use them again to further our walk with the Lord, to further our worship of Christ and reliance upon Him and use of Him day by day to get strength to walk in the way of His commandments, to get cleansing for our faults and failures and sins, and to be encouraged that, yes, the work that He has begun, He will complete. Once we start to identify and to glory in and to make our well-being rest upon being connected in some way or another with men, then we start to lose out with God. We may not realize it at first. We may think we're really strong going on the things of spirituality. But brethren, may we believe what Paul says, and not what things may seem like to us or from others. When we go this way, it doesn't mean we're not saved. We just say that. But he says this in the first part. Brethren, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, which is what they thought they were, very high spiritual men and women, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Why? Verse 3 tells us, are you not carnal? For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? And then he says, for one saith, I am of Paul, Apollos, etc. Are you not carnal? We need to have our eyes. These men, Paul and Apollos and Cephas, I can guarantee you, for we have their writings, they were not men trying to point others to themselves. But that's what happened. They were men, they were like John the Baptist, saying, I am not the Christ, but there He is. There He is. But what happened? They started worshiping Paul, Apollos, and Cephas and others. It's happened, and it will happen throughout church history. Not the unpardonable sin, but it really hurts us. We could become babes again. No matter how much truth we may know, these Corinthians knew a lot. Paul tells them that. Various places. We need that truth, that knowledge, to bring us to that one worship. That all things are for us. For our sakes. To advance us in holiness. To advance us in true communion with God and likeness to Christ. in the knowledge as well of the things of God, whether or not to be our Master, our Lord, our God, and that which we glory in and boast in. May the Lord give us repentance where we need it, correction, and especially this great encouragement that all the things you have, that you know, that you've been taught, all the books the Lord's given you, sermons, use them. Use them for the advancement of your faith and of your life toward the Lord Jesus Christ and His Father. Amen. Our Father in heaven, grant us this day that we, O Lord, may walk as truly spiritual men and women, and young people and little children. O God, that we might learn today from Paul, yea, from the inspired Holy Scriptures, Spirit Himself, that all these things are ours. And we pray, O God, that Thou would give us help to use them that way. Forgive us, Lord, we have gloried in men. Whether it be in a certain council or confession, certain persons, denominations, Lord, help us to glory in the Lord alone. That is when, Lord, we can see our own souls being revived. That is a prophecy in Isaiah in that great day, that the glory of God alone shall be exalted. And oh God, we pray that that day would hasten. Lord, give us glimmers of that day in our own souls, in our own church, and in Christ's church in this world, where the loftiness of man shall be abased, and the glory and the beauty of Christ shall be exalted. Part us now, Lord, with Thy blessing, we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen.